Okay, well, there you go, you see. I'm afraid to tell you. It's not wonderful news. No, in fact, it's quite sad news, you see. I'm afraid you have made the naughty list.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this Christmas Eve installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Christmas Eve. Or, as many procrastinating husbands know today, Oh Crap Day. The day when we realize that we've been putting off buying the missus something nice for Christmas, and so we go downtown scrambling to find something. A dire situation indeed. The other thing that today is known for, and you'll find this true with all of our holidays, it's also stories that the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about day. Days like today, Christmas Eve, and its lesser-known relative, Thanksgiving Eve, are usually reserved for releasing stories that you don't want people to pay attention to because they're focused on other things, like Thanksgiving or, in our case, Christmas. It's classic misdirection. Look over there. Pay attention to the fat man in the red suit. Don't worry anything about what's happening on the Supreme Court. Legal beagles have probably been aware that Justice Kautz is due to retire this upcoming March. According to one of the only articles I could find about his retirement, he was quoted in Wildfile as saying he's retiring not because he wants to, but in Wyoming, Supreme Court justices have to retire at the age of 70. You would think, with the big decisions that are on the way, this would be headline news. Chief among them is the challenge to Wyoming's new Life is a Human Right Act. No matter how Judge Melissa Owens decides that one, it's going to end up at the Supreme Court. That's a foregone conclusion. So there's a fairly decent chance that whomever is chosen to replace Justice Kautz will have a say in that decision. High stakes poker, my friends. Vacancies on Wyoming's High Court are filled in a similar fashion to other vacancies, say, in an elected office. We've had a few of those recently. Former Secretary of State Carl Allred and former Superintendent of Public Instruction Brian Schrader. The way it works for elected offices is whichever party held the office gets together, they select three names, those nominations are sent to the governor, and then he makes the final decision. The only difference with the High Court is there's a judicial nominating committee, which is chaired by Chief Justice Kate Fox. Well, they have selected three names and sent them to the governor, and you are never going to guess who is on that list. There's a big reason why you haven't seen this in the media, and I'll tell you about it in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous Christmas timeout.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh, over the hills we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what sport to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what joy it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh,
Christmas Eve Eve update is brought to you by the very generous sponsors of Cowboy State Politics. If you're one of those very silly and completely unprepared people and you haven't got all of your Christmas presents purchased yet, I'd like you to consider the sponsors of Cowboy State Politics, New Trend Hats. They've got a wide variety of hats for both men and women. Go to their website. You're sure to find a hat for anybody in your family. The Buffalo Wool Company. You have to keep those tootsies nice and toasty warm on Christmas Eve, and the best way that you can do that is with a pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. Go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, whomever gets these underneath the tree is not going to be disappointed, and they're going to love you forever. And believe it or not, if you want something that goes boom underneath the tree, well, not something that goes boom underneath the tree, but something that will go boom later, go to GunRunnerAuctions.com. You're sure to find something amazing there for your firearms enthusiast. For example, lot number 325. It's a Winchester 94 AE in 44 mag. It's got a 16-inch barrel. The stock is in excellent condition, and it has a 100% blue finish. It's a great firearm, and it would make an extraordinary Christmas gift. It's lot number 325 at thegunrunner.com. The following ad is paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate. Who's the leader for the Senate? It's Reed Raisner. He's the one for you and me. Cheer his name so happily. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. R-A-S-N-E-R. What's his name? Reed Raisner. Reed Raisner for the Senate. With the voice so strong and true. Bringing change from limits to Reed Raisner's here for you. And now, back to the reason why everyone on the Wyoming Judicial Nominating Committee is on the permanent naughty list. It just so happens that I have a direct line to Santa Claus, and when I inquired as to the status of the Judicial Nominating Committee, here's the message I was told to deliver to them.
Mrs. Claus, is it on? Is it recording? It is. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, dear, thank you. Hello there. Yes, it's me, Santa Claus, that's right. Now, you are watching this video to find out if you have made the naughty or the nice list. That's right, well, I have my book here, and it's time to have a look to see which list you have made. That's right, let's have a little look here. Okay. This is interesting. Very interesting. Okay, well, Okay, well, there you go, you see. I'm afraid to tell you. It's not wonderful news. No, in fact, it's quite sad news, you see. I'm afraid you have made the naughty list.
Definitely not good, my friends. And here's why the members of the Wyoming Judicial Nominating Committee should only be unwrapping coal this Christmas. First, two of the three nominees are not judges at all. They're just lawyers. That, in and of itself, is not without historical precedent. There have been at least a few Supreme Court justices who never spent a day on the bench. Associate Justice Joseph Story, for example. But neither of the two nominees that I'm speaking of are Joseph Story, nor do they come anywhere close. Generally speaking, and more often than not, we should elevate judges instead of just creating them. If you're going to create a judge, nominate them as a magistrate or a district judge, not the Supreme Court. The first of those nominations is Robert Jarosz. He is a former president of the Wyoming Bar Association. Gee, I wonder how he got this nomination. Three of the people on the Judicial Nominating Committee are elected by the Wyoming State Bar. Why wouldn't they select a former president of their organization? I don't really know too much about Robert Jarosz, but I know a heck of a lot about the other guy. None other than failed U.S. congressional candidate, former big-time redcoat Wyoming state legislator, and current redcoat political activist Tim Stubson. You're probably more familiar with his New York Times writing wife, Susan Stubson. the author of that fantastic work that called all the conservative members of the Wyoming GOP a bunch of Christian nationalists, whatever that means. Here's a little selection from that opus. Quote, "What's changed is the rise of Christian nationalism." Now, she never gives a definition of what that is. But anyway, I continue. "The belief, as recently described by Georgetown University professor and author Paul D. Miller, that, quote, America is a Christian nation and that the government should keep it that way. Gone are the days when a lawmaker might be circumspect about using his or her faith as a vehicle to garner votes. It's been a drastic and destructive departure from the boring substantive lawmaking to which I was accustomed. Christian nationalists have hijacked both my Republican Party and my faith community by blurring the lines between church and government, and in the process, rebranding our state's identity," end quote. Fantastic! I wonder if she had any help writing that. Right now, Tim Stubson is the chairman of two left-wing political action committees in the state of Wyoming. The Wyoming Caucus Pack, those are the people that vote with the Democrats around 85% of the time. Remember, if it walks like a jackass and talks like a jackass and smells like a jackass, it's a Democrat. I'm not being mean. That's their party's logo. And if you're voting with them over 85% of the time, the only difference between you and them is you just can't spell Democrat. The other political action committee that Tim Stubson is the chairman of is the Team Wyoming PAC. That's the name that the Redcoats had before they called themselves the Wyoming Caucus. Creative, I know. According to a Wyofile article entitled "Far-Right Advances Motivate Pro-Wyoming Lawmakers to Organize," published last March 29th, Tim Stubson said, quote, "The Wyoming Caucus Pack is on the very front end of fundraising, and it's still in the formative stages. The PAC and the broader caucus aren't necessarily one and the same, but one is an extension of the other," end quote. So one of the guys nominated to be on the Wyoming Supreme Court is a current political fundraiser for the Redcoats. Wyoming caucus in the Wyoming legislature. It is absolutely outrageous that the chairman of two left-wing political action committees is on the list of names sent to the governor for him to choose a replacement for the Wyoming Supreme Court. So ask yourself again, why haven't you seen this in the Wyoming media? And why did they send those names to the governor during Christmas? Yeah. But that's not all about Tim Stubson. He's a Liz Cheney-loving leftist from way back. Listen to what he said on PBS NewsHour. The question was, what could Liz Cheney have done to win the election and beat Representative Harriet Hageman? Listen to his answer. Oh, and nice hair there, Stubby.
I think the only thing she could have done is run away from her decisions to vote for impeachment, to join the January 6th committee, and to really speak truth. If she would have run away from those things, maybe she would have had a chance. But by embracing them really with great courage, I think that sort of casts the die in this election.
Got it. So to win the election, she would have had to lie. Here's a little bit more of what he had to say.
For you, as you look at your party, the Republican Party, going forward with this kind of allegiance to former President Trump and the denial of the last election.
Yeah, I don't think what Sarah says is wrong. We certainly saw down ballot the real power of Donald Trump's force in this election. We have a Secretary of State nominee now who's an election denier and likely will be our next Secretary of State. But maybe I'm a little bit more optimistic. I still believe that if we can get enough people of courage, of integrity, to stand up and really call truth truth and lie lie, that we can change the direction of the Republican Party. It may not be the Republican Party it was yesterday, but it can be certainly a lot better than it is today.
Oh, I get it. We need people of truth and integrity, like Barry Crago and Steve Harshman and Albert Sommers and Clark Stiff, who vote with the Democrats about 85% of the time and continually and at every turn mislead voters as to their voting record. The only person that says, quote, "it's all lies," more than Barry Crago is Joe Biden. Remember, there were two flyers sent around about Representative Barry Crago. Every single thing that was written on there was the truth, except that there were two minor errors about which committee a vote took place in. Other than that, everything on them was the truth. And Barry Crago just said, it's all lies. These are the type of people that Tim Stubson is campaigning and raising money for. That, and statistically, all of them are Democrats. And believe it or not, there's even more where all of that came from. Tim Stubson doesn't even believe in the process we use in Wyoming to fill vacancies. The one that resulted in his name being on a list sent to the governor. Here's what he wrote in the Cowpie on January 30th of 2022. His op-ed is entitled, "The GOP Made a Political Statement Rather Than Caring About Education." Wow. Listen to this, and I quote, "What looking glass did we fall through to get here? Certainly, there are fundamental questions about the procedure used to make the selection. Some of those questions are currently before the courts, particularly the Central Committee's disregard for the constitutional principle of one person, one vote." So, it's the Central Committee's disregard for the constitutional principle of one person, one vote. Except that that's Wyoming law. Being a lawyer, Tim Stubson should know that. And of course, that doesn't apply at all to Tim Stubson's selection process, does it? One more little snippet from this monumental piece of left-wing drivel. Quote, "The whole sorry process shows that the majority of the Central Committee are not primarily concerned with improving public education. Instead, their priority is what every political hack's priority is. Feed the outrage machine, stoke fear, and generate donations." End quote. Donations that might go to maybe a political action committee, perhaps? The same process that was used to put Tim Stubson's name on a list is almost exactly the same as the process he's criticizing in the Cowpie. But the process by which Tim Stubson ended up on that list is far worse, according to him. Instead of representatives from 23 counties, Tim Stubson was chosen by seven elites. Three lawyers, elected by the Wyoming State Bar, three people chosen by the governor, and Chief Justice Kate Fox. You can't get much more elitist than that. What a hypocrite. Need more evidence of Tim Stubson's political activism? He appeared on a podcast called Craig's Colorado Corner, a giant in Colorado media. The episode's been up for over 3 months, and it has a total of 38 views. An episode of this program does that in about 5 minutes. But anyway, here's what Tim Stubson says that he's been up to. Oh, and my apologies about Craig Silverman's voice. You'll understand when I hit play.
"But now you guys are kind of allies again, and because you are, that's not that popular in Wyoming, which might stifle your political future. What are you doing now, Tim?"
"Well, I'm working a lot. I've got a commercial litigation practice here in Wyoming. And so I'm doing a lot of work, but I'm also, you know, here and there when we can, we work with candidates, we recruit candidates, we help raise money for good candidates and make sure that we're at least trying to fight in the right direction."
There you have it. In his own words, Tim Stubson is a political activist, and right now, he is one of three people that the governor can choose from for the Wyoming Supreme Court. Now, if there's one statement that Tim Stubson can't help but repeat that I actually agree with, is that we ought to be focused on people who actually tell the truth. And so, to that end, Merry Christmas, Tim! Well, that'll about do it for this Christmas Eve installment of Weekend Update. Make sure that you don't miss the Cowboy State Politics Christmas Eve special that's released every Christmas Eve. Every year, it's an episode that I just can't wait to do. So make sure you pay attention to that. It'll be released later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Make sure that you subscribe and follow the program so that you can be notified every time there's a new episode of Cowboy State Politics. You can do that from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Studio, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.